Welcome to another episode of Introductory Wine Classes for Novices. All right, today we're going to talk about Italian wine, which is 31% of the wine imports that come into the U.S. More wine comes from Italy than any other country outside the United States, so that's a great thing. But the challenge is Italian wines can be kind of tough to follow. When you look at a label, they get very difficult, very challenging. There are lots of amazing wines, lots of amazing varietals, but it's kind of tough to figure out a label. So today I've asked for help. I've got Helen and Lisa helping me, so we're going to talk about Italian wine. So thank you for joining us today, ladies.
Hi. Thank you.
Excellent. So what do you think makes Italian wine challenging to start with?
I think what makes it challenging to understand is on the labels they use a mixture of grapes in the name of the wine, then they'll use places as the name of the wine, and then they'll use proprietary names as the name of the wine. And so it's very hard sometimes to figure out where the wine's coming from, or at least what type of wine or what flavors it might have. So deciphering some of that can be really useful.
So give us a few examples.
Up in the northwest of Italy, there's a region called Piedmont, and it's very famous for Barolo, for Barbaresco, for Barbera. And so there is a few confusions. So we know and are familiar with those wines, but Barolo and Barbaresco are actually towns, and the grape is Nebbiolo. But when you talk about Barbera, it's actually a grape, but it comes from two towns called Asti and Alba that tend to be in the name of the wine. So it can be a little bit confusing.
So Lisa, what makes Italian wine great in your mind? Like, what's great about Italian wine?
I am a huge fan of Italian wines, not only because I have family in Sicily, who I didn't meet until 1998, but also because it is such a diverse country in terms of grape varietals. I believe there is about 3,000 plus varietals in Italy, and I'm sure that's growing with the younger generation of winemakers that are taking over their family's properties. I think relative to how I buy in Italy, it's usually actually sometimes price-oriented, but also because I am a big fan of Sicily, and Sicily was one of the last regions to really kind of make it in terms of marketing in the U.S., and because they sell their wine to importers at a reasonable price. Weather-wise, they're very similar to California, and they also have really kind of deep red, beautiful red grape varietals, but they have table wines that are very approachable. A lot of the grapes there are either mixed with Chardonnay or they're standalone grapes that are just used for table wine for family meals. And I find with the more poorer areas of Italy, you'll find really reasonable prices, whether that's Puglia, Calabria, Sicily. I find those are really great regions to be price conscious and buying good wine.
In general, I think Italy is just the greatest bang for the buck, right? If you want great wine, affordable prices, you just can't beat Italy in a lot of ways, right? Mm-hmm. And so it seems like a lot of varietals come out. Like, I always hear about a variety of different whites, a lot of different red varietals, you know, where in the U.S. you hear about Pinot and Chardonnay and Cabernet Sauvignon. There you just, you know, you have Vermentino, you have all these different...
You have Pinot Grigio, you have a Chardonnay,
right,
you have esoteric,
Cricchetto, you've got all these different varietals. Yeah. It just seems amazing. So in my mind, and maybe this is the wrong way to approach it, there are a lot of different regions in Italy, but it sort of breaks into sort of the north, the mid, and the south. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair appraisal?
Yeah, definitely.
And I think you can go by the mountains. That's a key thing to think of in Italy. So when you're in the north, you think of the Dolomites, you think of skiing, it's cool, it's cold, it's very wintry in the winter. So up in the north, you get lovely aromatic whites, Pinot Grigio, Pinot Bianco. And then as you come further down the country, it's more vacation land to the east, the Marche, where you get the Verdicchio and beautiful white wine that has sort of perhaps the aroma of the sea, but lovely fruit qualities. And then as you go further west, you go into Vino Nobile di Montepulciano and Tuscany, where you have the Sangiovese grape, one of the classic grapes of Italy, just giving you some lovely medium-bodied, beautiful fruit flavours, wonderful acidity, which is key because it goes with food. And so when we think about Italian wine, we always think about food. And then going further south along the Apennines, which is sort of the ridge of the mountain range that goes all the way down the spine of Italy, you go down into Brunello and further down into some of the southern regions that Lisa was just saying, where you get some of the richer Nero d'Avolo and Sagrantino, some of the bigger, fuller-bodied, earthy, spicy Italian wines. Just delicious.
So did you want to say something? Well, the funny thing for me is, like, you hear these terms like Montalcino, right? And then you see, right? And then you have, but is that a town, right? Then you have Brunello, you have Chianti, you got Sangiovese, right. You got all these terms that get used specifically, typically in Italy. You have some in California or other parts of the world that make Italian varietals. But, like, I even get very confused, right, when people talk about Barolo, Brunello, Montalcino versus Chianti versus Sangiovese. So let's just focus on Tuscany for a second, because a lot of obviously great wine comes out of that region. So how do you sort of try to understand Italian wine, right? Like, what, you know, if you hear somebody say Montalcino, is that a region? Is that a place? Is that a city? Is that a village? Is that a...
It's a place. Montalcino is a beautiful town. I find Tuscany to make a lot of beautiful wines, but I also find Tuscany was one of the best marketed wines in the U.S. When we're talking about Barolo, that's an Asti as an area. Those are, and to Helen's point, food has everything to do with wine in Italy. And so you'll find in a region which produces a lot of truffles being Asti, that you'll find richer wines, like bigger wines, and Barolo being kind of the quintessential grape there, and being more expensive, but just beautifully paired with these beautiful truffles and truffle dishes. Then I would say kind of on the lesser known grapes, Marolino, which would you say is a good varietal in Tuscany?
Definitely. Value-driven
wines. I also find alcohol relative to good wine in Italy, because I find a lot of Tuscan wines, and Chianti, we're talking about Sangiovese grape, and Sangiovese made well is really aromatic and just kind of has the texture, a lighter texture going down than a Barolo. Or Barbera, which might have a little more spicy notes.
Okay, we're getting kind of confusing here. So this is the beauty of Italian wine, right? Is it gets a little complex.
Yeah.
Let's just deal with Chianti. What does Chianti mean? What is the word?
So Chianti is a town. And the sort of evolution of the Italians trying to delineate their wine regions, Chianti sort of became central. And the way they delineated it was by saying, okay, the best region we're going to call Classico. So you have Chianti Classico, which on paper is the best region for producing the best quality wines in Chianti. And it divides into separate regions, and on you can go. But Chianti is sort of like the most historical part of Tuscany, the town itself, and you can map generations of wine producing in the area, and even to the today where there's some very, very, very modern wines being produced that are frankly quite controversial and may or may not like them. But the traditional grape, as Lisa just said, is Sangiovese.
And so if you get a Chianti, you know it's from Tuscany. You know it's from the region known as Chianti. Yeah. And it's has to be Sangiovese, or could it be something else? Is there such thing as a white Chianti, or is that just a no-no? There's just red Chianti.
Red Chianti, and it has to have, it's either 70 or 75%, which I think is the latter, of Sangiovese. But what I was saying about the controversy is that in recent years, they've started adding international varieties, which is Cabernet, Merlot, to make the wine more palatable for export, because the American palate perhaps is a little different to the European palate. But recently, there's been sort of a trend to go back to native grape varieties from Italy. So you'll see things like Canaiolo and all kinds of other grape varieties blended in with the Sangiovese to give it its old authenticity.
But if you get a Chianti, if you look on a label and it says it's an Italian wine, it's from Chianti, it's probably not going to say it's Sangiovese, right? It's probably
right. No, it won't. Give the name of the producer, say it's Frescobaldi or Antonori or Isole Iolena, and it will say on there DOC or DOCG Chianti Classico. And then it'll say, it might say Reserva, which means that it's been aged a little longer in barrel, or it might have a specific proprietary name, which means it's some special barrel selection that they've made.
So when somebody says, a couple other common terms you see is Barolo, Brunello, are these places or are these particular types of grapes?
So that's a great one. So Barolo is a town up in the northwest of Italy in Piedmont. Brunello is actually referencing, it's not a town, it's actually referencing a grape, but it's not technically the name of a grape, but it's sort of like the local name for the grape, which is a clone of Sangiovese, and Brunello sort of means little brown. But Brunello di Montalcino, so it's the little brown Sangiovese grape of the town Montalcino, is a particular type of Tuscan wine coming from the southern part of Tuscany, Brunello di Montalcino.
So this is why it gets pretty dang confusing to try and deal with Italian wine, right? Because you're talking about towns, you're talking about little brown, right? In terms of referring to a grape, which is sounds like a clone of Sangiovese, you got Chianti. So we're going to have to wrap this up relatively soon, right? It's getting a little long. But my question to you guys is, you know, we dealt with Tuscany quite a bit here, right? In Piedmont, which is obviously a big region, what's the difference between that and, like, Tuscany, right? Like, you get a Chianti, it's out of the Tuscany region, correct?
Right.
So, Piedmont, is that more about Cab, or is that more about, like, what do you find typically in the northern region when it comes to Italian wine? Piedmont being more north than
Tuscany. So first of all, just think where you are in the north. I mean, Piedmont, cloud in the sky. No, mountain in the sky. It's north. It has harsher winters. It has hotter summers. It's more continental, even though it's somewhat near the coast, but it has altitude, high altitude up on the mountains. So therefore, something very different is going to work there than, say, works on the soft rolling hills and green lush lands of Tuscany, which is very Mediterranean in terms of its climate. It can get a little continental further in, but basically the terroir, the soils are completely different as well. So all of that is going to mean that different grape varieties work. It's just how it works in the wine business, or the wine growing of wine grapes. And so you're going to get very different expressions. So in the north, you tend to get, say, for example, in Barolo, it's the grape Nebbiolo. High acidity, high tannin, very intense fruit characteristic. Wines that will have a tremendous amount of ability to age. Tuscany, you're going to have a breadth and depth of wines. But Sangiovese, also a noble grape variety that will age for a long time, but tend to have a more approachable fruit character. Lots of acidity, tannin, yes, but not as harsh as up in the region of Barolo.
So if we go to the south, though, right, we go into the world of Sicily and so forth. How are those wines sort of different? Lisa, what do you think in terms of the wines down there in the south?
I think aside from picking just the south, I would say, think about it in terms of what we were discussing earlier at lunch, is really geography and history and your desire to travel. So I would pick three areas that made an impression on me. And I'll start in the north in Alto Adige, where Helen was mentioning, like, cooler, mountainous, some of the best ski areas. And so when I was up there, the vineyard that I went to go visit, Terlano, they had white asparagus in season. And their grape varietals were more like Austrian-German because of their history of basically that part of Italy going belonging to Austria during a war period and then going back to Italy. And so they speak both German and Italy up there. Their varietals are very German in nature, and they're higher minerality because they're mountainous fruit. And so the whites are so complex from up there and very reasonably priced. Then I go mid. I took a trip with my mom to Umbria, and we went on a truffle hunt with dogs, not pigs. And we went and found white and black truffles on this property. Nearby was a town that made chocolate. They make bocce, and they had really beautiful acres and acres of land. And we knocked on someone's door, and him and his family made a grape called Sagrantino di Montefalco, which was another neighboring town. And they laid the grapes out on these beds. The mom was like in her 80s. And so this grape was very interesting to me to explore, Sagrantino di Montefalco, which is from Umbria. But because it was, he didn't believe in pressing the fruit too much. And like there was just an amazing amount of complexity to his wines. And so I feel like there's a sense of place in everything. And then, yes, when you go further south, if you took a train ride from Naples to Lugano in Switzerland, you would notice that the oranges taste quite different in each and every town. And the reason why I know that is because I took that train ride and somebody kept gifting me oranges every time they would get on board. And it was like the same for me when you think about grapes. Like we started off with really warm climate in Sicily where the oranges was sweeter and so was the fruit hanging on the vine. It had more sugar because of its intensity of heat. And so the wines were even bigger. They were Cabernet and Nero d'Avola down there. And then as you were going up north, it was changing by degrees of earthiness or herbal qualities. And I feel like the only way you're going to know is if you try all these varietals. Like I walked into the store the other day and the buyer was selling Schiava. And truthfully, I still don't fully know about Schiava. But it was in a good price range and it went really well with the dish I was making that night. And now all of a sudden there's this new varietal that I really want to explore.
Well, that's great. So I think we're sort of running in time of this, but we're going to do another quick podcast after this on food and wine real quick because I have both of you here. But thank you, Helen.
Thank you,
Helen.
And thank you, Lisa, for joining on this podcast. And we'll see you on the next one.